that we've had, or if you want to listen to this one again. So again, I'd like to thank my guests, and please tune in next week. We'll have another host and another topic.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
WGTD Radio Theater is on the air in its 11th season. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, Wisconsin. Today we bring you Detectives Times 2. First, a new episode of that classic detective, Johnny Dollar, in Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Murder is Just a Carnival Ride. Then a twist on the classic The Thin Man, Nora Charles' private detective, The Thin Man's gorgeous lady. Detectives Times 2 was written and produced by Stephen Brown and Michael Alstrup and stars members of the 91.1 Players. Today's show was directed by Barb Tyla. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan, Wisconsin, and the Brown Alstrup Performing Arts Foundation. And now, Detectives Times 2. The WGTD Radio Theater presents Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. From Delavan, Wisconsin, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Johnny, Harry Riggleman here from the...
Harry, I've been... What's up, Harry?
Johnny, we've been hit with a bunch of claims from a Kearney group out in Wisconsin.
And I suppose you need my expertise, making sure I don't get either eaten by one of the lions or run over by a car full of clowns.
You got it, Johnny. Just watch out for those lions.
I'm on it, Harry.
The next half hour or so has its bags packed and ready to go to take a trip with America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, he's just an expert. But at making out his expense account...
I'm an absolute genius. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, Nutmeg State Casualty and Bonding Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of my expenditure during investigation of a series of accidents affecting your policyholder, the Walworth Funfair Carnival shows located in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and operating throughout Walworth County, the rest of Wisconsin, and the Fox Rivers area of Northern Illinois, but they still call Wisconsin their home base. No fibbing. Expense account, or better put, how I went for a fast and not so fun spin on a case we might refer to as Murder is Just a Carnival Ride. Expense account item 1, 35 cents, purchase a billboard magazine to check out the route and future travels of the Walworth Funfair Carnival shows. Expense account item 2, $89, air and train fares to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, which meant flying into Milwaukee, since there was no airport, except the one across the street from Lake Lawn Lodge, to land at DC-3. Item 3, $1.36, cab fare in what was only a fair imitation of a cab, from the Lake Geneva train station out to almost Delavan Lake, to what looked like, well, more like a really dirty lot, which had almost overnight, seemed to me, to transform itself into wearing theatrical makeup. Brightly, even in early November, the sun beat down on the midway. It couldn't help the canvas and slats from the tents looking really beat up, shabby. You know how that would look like. Anyway, an unkempt, all sweated up mechanic shot fiery sparks of profanity into the air, and not for your ears to really hear at the back of some old generator motor that seemed to be chugging and clunking its last breath. And with that, the giant, well-worn and almost red in color Ferris wheel just stopped. I mean, it just stopped. I asked the mechanic what he knew about the accident I was here to investigate a week before when a car dropped off this same almost red and clunky Ferris wheel, badly injuring all three of them. This guy was a real charmer, let me tell you.
Well, that's pretty boy in that fancy suit and tie. Don't you go getting nosy around here, you hear me?
The Joe in charge of the electric bumper cars was just as sweet. On the subject of how come his bumper cars just blew up a few nights back, sending a patron to the hospital with all kinds of contusions and scrapes, he just didn't feel like talking.
If you ain't a cop, start moving. If you are, where's your warrant, copper?
I was just asking the pilot of the helicopter Spinride who he thought might have cut the cables the night one of his copters took off. Literally flew over the heads of the carnival crowd, crashing and busting up a few more customers, when I got a canvas man's version of a very sharp answer. A tent stake! Oh, right behind my ear! Oh, what the...
Well, so Sleeping Beauty's waking up, huh?
Hey, who are you?
I thought maybe you'd be sick of asking such stupid questions. First, maybe you better answer a few... before you get up, number one, who the heck are you?
Just a pilgrim, man. A pilgrim from Hartford.
Never mind the fast double talk, wise guy. What's your name?
The name is Johnny Dollar. But right now, I feel more like 2 cents, if that.
So, Dollar, what's your big interest in those accidents you've been buzzing around asking everybody about? I want to know, and I want to know right now.
My interest? Strictly academic. I'm only here representing the insurance company that's paying off on all those accidents. Now, maybe you'll tell me just who you are and where the heck am I?
Oh, I thought you guys were smarter than that. Dollar, I'll let you in on a little secret. Next time you want to find something out in a traveling carny show, get to know the boss first. Asking a lot of questions around a circus or a carny operation like this can be, it can be kind of unhealthy, if you get my meaning.
So just where is the boss? Miss Williams.
You mean Louisa. She's in the other end of this here trailer. She'll be right out. Okay, you can get up on your feet now. It's okay with me.
I hope you don't mind if I don't stand up right now. I'm still a bit woozy. I feel more like sitting down, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, it's okay with me, Dollar.
You still haven't told me who you are.
My name's Brennan.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember. Shanny Brennan. Yeah, you're the general manager of the show. The home office told me all about you.
Oh, they did they?
Yeah, you're Louisa Williams' right arm. And a strong arm at that. So, just how long will she be?
She's getting dressed right now. Getting all dolled up. She just finished her late morning nap. We drove all night from way up in Bayfield to get here for the show here in Delavan.
Took the back roads, I bet.
Yeah, had to stay out of Madison. We were on some pretty dark and winding dirt roads with our caravan.
Uh-huh.
Say, Dollar, you want a shot of this whiskey I have here? It might make you feel better.
No thanks, Brennan. I haven't enjoyed a noon bottle since I was 2. But don't let me stop you.
Thanks. Don't mind if I do. Ooh. Ooh, tastes good on a chilly day like today. Sure you don't want a taste?
I'm sure, Brennan. You know, the insurance company's been checking up on your show. The coppers in the last 10 towns you played in all say you're clean.
Yeah, we haven't had a pickpocket or a grifter in the lot of us, Dollar.
But still plenty of trouble, huh? During those past 10 stops?
Yeah, I guess so. At least once a night, somebody got hurt. But never any of us. It's always been one or two of the townies. Last night in Bayfield, right here on Lake Superior, a car on the whipsaw ride cut loose. That sent 4 to the hospital. They was all bloodied up.
Uh-huh. 4 more insurance claims for Nutmeg State casualty and bonding, huh?
Yeah. And one more town we won't be able to play again for a couple of years. It's a wonder that we don't travel out in Bayfield late last night by rail all tarred and feathered.
For 10 straight days now, you've had at least one big accident every night. What's your guess, Brennan? Has fate taken on a steady job on your show? Or do you think somebody is out to get you?
Somebody's out to pull our plug and pull it real hard.
Okay, well, do you have any idea who?
Hey. Oh, Shanny. Why didn't you tell me we were entertaining such a gentleman? If I had known, I would have put on some more clothes and some more makeup and Maybe even put on some of that sticky spray on my hair to make it look all shiny.
Okay, let me give you the real skinny on Louisa. It would have taken a lot more clothes to cover all there was of Louisa Williams. I mean, a lot more. She looked like an aging Cupid doll. But even in a carnival, she was not first prize or second. Maybe not even the consolation prize. And oh, yeah, I did not like the look in her eye. She looked way too friendly. So right away, I decided to change the unspoken subject. Miss Williams, I'm here on business. Insurance.
Sorry, fella, we ain't buying any.
And I'm not selling any. The way things have been going, the insurance company I represent would probably like to buy all or at least a big chunk of your insurance back.
Oh, really? We run a clean business here, Dollar.
Really? Well, lady, I'm here from Nutmeg State Casualty investigating all of these accidents you've been having. So don't talk to me about running a clean business. Blood spattered everywhere is not so clean.
What? Say, Dollar, I hope that you can find more than we've been able to, and fast, before we go broke and somebody actually dies. The word's traveling one town ahead of us at every stop. They've got us pegged for a dangerous midway.
Have you been using local police protection?
As a matter of fact, Dollar, yes. 20 extra cops a night at $10 a cop. So night before last near La Crosse, a guy winds up with a hammer to try and ring the bell and win a cigar and a stuffed animal for his little girl and almost brains a cop. Hey, around this show, right now, even the coppers need protection.
I see what you mean. How are you fixed for people who don't like you? You got many to put the finger on?
Dollar, we treat all our help fair and square. You know them, and then we trust them all.
Fire anyone lately?
Nah. We seldom have to can anyone's butt around here. And the only one who's left are the floaters, and they never have a beef with us. They just want to move on and usually want to head down south for a warmer climate, especially in the winter.
Okay, Miss Williams, now think back. In all of your life, who'd most like to see you have a hard time? You know what I mean? For you to really take some hard knocks and go down for the count.
Only one guy. Ah, but he ain't around no more.
Dead?
As good as. He's in jail. He's been there for the last 9.5 years.
It's a long time. How long was he sent up for?
Well, 10 to 12.
Huh?
What are you thinking, Dollar?
I'm thinking that maybe for good behavior or even prison overcrowding, maybe he's already out.
What? Not in jail? Shanny, he's got to be in the slammer. He's got to be. I tell you, Shanny, you told me that Hughes was watching, keeping an eye.
All right, break it up, Louisa. If Conalisi had a voice and a tongue as sharp as yours, he could saw his way out of jail. Okay, Dollar, you made a guess. How about seeing how good it is?
Sure, I'll find out if your boogeyman is still in jail. But I didn't catch the name of his.
Lacey. Carter Lacey.
Okay, and where's he been in the pokey?
Minnesota State Prison at Willow River.
Willow River, huh?
Yeah. What's so special about that?
Well, that's not too far from Hayward, Wisconsin. Wasn't that where your carnival was when these so-called accidents started to pop up?
Yeah, that's about right.
What did he get it sent up there for?
What's that to you, Dollar?
Cut the crap, Louisa. Dollar, we sent Lacey up the river for attempted murder.
What?
He tried to kill Louisa's niece, Rachel.
Is she around?
Yeah, she's running the snake show up on the Midway. You can't miss her. She's always got a couple of snakes wrapped around her neck. And her arms and stomach, they're all full of snake tattoos.
Oh.
Dollar, how soon do you think you could check to see if Lacey's got sprung from the slammer?
Soon as I can make a telephone call. But, Shanny, before I do, I'd like to elaborate just a bit on that guess that I made. Now, I not only guess that Lacey's out of jail, but that he's been out a little over 10 days. Expense account item 4. $3.64 for a telephone call to the Minnesota State Prison at Willow River. Confirming both of my guesses, Carter Lacey, age 29, had checked out of the Willow River Prison 2 weeks ago. Item 5, $32.15. No, make that 35 cents. For telephone calls to various hotels in the last 10 towns that the Walworth Funfair Carnival shows had played. Expense account item 6, 10 cents. 2 nickels spent calling 2 hotels right here in Delavan. Then I dropped 1 more nickel in the telephone, calling the Lakeside Hotel. And this time, got the lucky number.
Yes, sir. We do have a Mr. Carter Lacey registered here. Room 314, shall I call?
No, operator. That's okay. I will stop by the hotel just after lunch today.
Oh, that's fine, sir. Oh, sir, by the way, we do have a wonderful luncheon buffet here with some lovely fresh fish from both Delavan and Geneva Lakes. Mighty fine dining right here.
No thanks, operator. But thanks so much for the outstanding recommendation. I do love the food here in the area, especially at the Lake Lawn Lodge.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Expense account item 7, 85 cents. Cab fare to the Lakeside Hotel. Tip to driver, $1. I felt like this was my lucky day, and also the driver's. From the lobby, I called room 314. Lacey answered the phone. He invited me up to his room. I declined, but suggested that he join me down here in the lobby coffee shop, overlooking beautiful Delavan Lake. I knew I'd feel a lot better with a lot of people around, rather than being stuck in Lacey's room, not knowing if he'd try to pull a knife on me or try to toss me out the third floor window. For all I knew, he might be homesick for prison life and the food and want to use me for his ticket back to the slammer. So I waited in the coffee shop. The lovely waitress brought me a cup of coffee, and my palate went to work refereeing a one-sided bout between the extra-strong Java and really weak cream.
Hello. You must be Dollar.
Yeah. All right, please sit down.
Yeah, thanks.
So you're Carter Lacey, hmm? Have some coffee?
No thanks. It keeps me awake nights.
So how about your conscience? Having the same trouble with that?
My conscience deserves a night and then some rest, but it can't start its vacation until I even up a few scores.
Like busting up carnivals and making a lot of little children cry?
That's child's play. Look, Dollar, over the telephone, you told me you're an insurance investigator. You can save your company a lot of money.
Oh, how's that?
Call them up and tell them to insure the lives of three people, because any minute now, two of them are going to be dead.
Louisa Williams, her niece Rachel, and Shanny Brennan.
Yeah, Dollar. I'm going to knock off two of them, and the other one, who's still my friend, is going to help me do it. And in case you don't know your criminal law, Dollar, don't bother calling the cops. I can't be held for making a threat. Unless it's put into writing.
Well, Lacey, I don't know what your beef against those people running the carnival is, but those accidents have been hurting, really hurting, a lot of innocent bystanders, including some children.
Dollar, look and listen. You're talking to a chump here, one who really knows what it's like getting hurt by an innocent bystander.
Expense account item 8, $25. Retainer to local detective agency, McClure & Associates, hiring someone to shadow a Mr. Carter Lacey. Explanation? An ounce of crime prevention is worth a ton of trials, and even death and serious injuries. Expense account item 9, $1.20. Cab fare back for the evening festivities of the Walworth Funfair Carnival, which was rapidly becoming more and more like a thrill show that was turning more freaky by the moment. Expense account item 10, although it seemed more like a 155 cents. Down payment on my soon-to-occur elsewhere. Eating supper at what the carny people call a grease joint. I made my way among all the tightly bunched up trailers, some not even as big as my slightly oversized clothes closet back in Hartford. As I looked for one trailer housing Rachel, who was Louise's snake-charming and heavily tattooed niece, the burning sensation that I felt around my heart and then creeping into my stomach cavity wasn't all caused by the greasy, yes, greasy hot dogs and something the cook called sliders, which I guess is something like a small, square hamburger on an even smaller square bun with some raw, not cooked onions and some yellow mustard and watery ketchup plopped down in the middle. All of which I had just eaten. Sliders. They call them sliders.
Who is it?
I've got a message for you from Carter Lacey.
Excuse me? What did you just say?
I said... Excuse me, I just had supper.
Oh, it must have been the sliders, I bet.
Yes. Anyways, as I was saying, I've got a message from Carter Lacey for you and your Aunt Louisa and Shanny Brennan. You're the only one I haven't met yet, so I thought I'd deliver the message to you first.
Where is he?
In town. Got any snakes crawling around in your trailer?
No, of course not. Maybe a few tarantulas. Just kidding.
All right, then. How about inviting me in so we can chit-chat?
Oh, you townies are all alike. Always afraid of snakes. Sure, come on in.
Thanks.
Say, Are you that Snoopy insurance guy everyone's talking about?
That's right.
So, what did Lacey have to say?
He said he's going to knock off two of the three of you.
Really? Which two? Didn't he say?
No, he didn't. He just said the two of you are going to get it. And that his one friend among the three of you is going to help him do it.
Oh, he'll do it. He hates us. I know he'll kill us. You say my Aunt Louise and Shanny don't know nothing about this yet?
No, they don't. Like I said, you're the first to know.
Well, then, you wait here. I'll run and tell them. I'll stop back here before I have to go into the number one tent to do my next show.
You mean with the snakes?
Yes, Mr. Dollar. With all my snakes, all 26 of them. By the way, if you see Jasper, he's the giant boa. Tell him I'll be right back. There's water and beer in the icebox.
Jasper? Anyway, Rachel wasn't right back. And it's just as well she wasn't. She might have seen me taking a sightseeing trip through her drawers of the built-in bureau in her trailer. The piles of silky nothings that gives gals that certain something didn't tell me anything that I didn't already know about women before. But a little black book stashed among them did. I really didn't have to rush my search because Rachel was still gone after 10 minutes, then 15 minutes. And that's about the time I left Rachel's trailer and headed back to Louise's trailer, pulled open the door, and walked right in.
Oh, you scared me, Dollar, barging in like that.
Mr. Dollar, I told you I'd be right back.
Did Rachel here deliver Mr. Lacey's little love letters?
Yeah, the crazy fool. He always was a fool. Oh, he can't kill us.
You mean it's against the law?
I mean, it's impossible, that's all. Simply impossible.
Look, Miss Williams, you and your niece here are plenty scared. Rachel, have you told Shanny about Lacey's threat?
Yeah, I met him on the way over here. Asked him if he'd feed my snakes before showtime. They're dangerous to work with if they're hungry. Yeah, I told him. Said he'd join us here.
Well, what did he say when you told him?
He said if Lacey had one of us helping him, then the three of us had better stick together so we could at least watch out for each other.
Smart man. He had a good idea. I'd say the three of you had better stick close to each other, beginning right now. Come on.
Where are we going?
Over to the snake tent. And when we get there, Rachel, you'll be the only one of us who'll be among friends. The three of us left Louise's trailer. We walked past the back of the shooting gallery concession, right in front of it. And along the back of the line of those tent shanties, we stopped at one. Rachel pulled back the canvas flap, and I stepped in, ready for anything. With the ladies not far behind me, I edged slowly over to the square, red board fence set up in the center of the tent. There were danger signs splashed in white paint along the outside walls of the pit. I clenched my teeth and looked down through the wire mesh top at a slithering tangle of writhing, snarling, and very angry reptiles. Okay, I really mean snakes, and I hate snakes, but don't tell anyone, okay? And there lying among them, with a really nasty red welt on his forehead, was Shanny Brennan. He was feeding the snakes, all right. Well, let me tell you something. I had just seen a murder mystery where the actors have been hissing instead of the audience. The lead character in that snake pit wasn't going to win any Academy Award. The scene of the crime was no place for a man, let alone a woman. So I herded Auntie Louisa and her niece Rachel out of the tent and back into their trailer.
Poor Shanty, how horrible!
Yes, I was wrong, Dollar, when I said Carter Lacey couldn't do it.
What's going to happen to us?
According to what Lacey told me, Rachel, what's supposed to happen is only going to happen to one of you.
What do you mean?
Well, he claims that one of you is in this with him, and that one knows she's safe. This may turn out to be an acting contest between you two.
What's that crack supposed to mean, Dollar?
Well, the one who's safe wouldn't want anybody to know she feels safe, right?
I wish I had learned to cry.
Louise, so you don't think it's me?
Well, I know it sure as heck ain't me.
Now, ladies, how about observing a moment of silence? I mean real silence. In memory of the deceased. Well, I give you a few very important instructions. Okay. Have you got a gun in here, Louisa?
Yeah. And I even have a license to carry it.
Good. Where is it? The gun, not the license.
I won't give it to you.
Well, if you don't, people might get to thinking that you're Carter Lacey's girlfriend and therefore his accomplice. Anyway, I don't want the gun to take with me. I want to leave it here. So where is it?
In that drawer over there.
Which end of the drawer?
What's the matter with you, blind? You'll see it.
Uh-huh. I'm not turning my back on you. Which end? Oh,
you'd make a lousy trapeze artist, Dollar. You don't take any chances. This end towards me.
Thanks. Well, now where are the keys to the car hitched to the front of this land yacht?
What are they for, Dollar?
Just another chance I'm not taking. With those keys in my pocket, this trailer won't be joyriding anybody off into the night. Where are they?
I'll get them for you since Louisa seems to be having some old folks thing going on.
Wait a minute, Rachel. How come you know where Louisa's keys are?
Yeah, Rachel. How come?
Well, they're laying right there in plain sight.
Oh, thanks. Now I'm going out and call the police, Louisa. I want you to get into that chair down at the end of the trailer.
Okay, General. You got the gun.
And you, Rachel, get in that bunk down at the other end.
I don't understand all this.
And now, ladies, while I'm gone, I don't want one of you gals to be knocking off the other. But on the other hand, I can't leave you here without protection. So I'm leaving the gun right here. On this table, right in the middle of the trailer. And if Carter Lacey comes knocking at your door, you can have yourselves a race for the gun. Expense account item 11, 5 cents. Telephone call to the local police, plus another nickel, spent calling a taxi. The cops arrived in 4 minutes. The cab in 15. Its driver had no siren to get him through traffic lights. Expense account item 12, $1.10. Cab fare on an exceedingly slow, bumpy, and torturous trip to the Lakeside Hotel. Tip to this kind of driver? A nickel. I went up to the third floor and headed down to Lacey's room, 314. I rapped on the door and an entrance, and all that came back was an echo. The lock on the door was the soft touch type, known in the trade as the burglar's friend. So I went in. Stars fell on Wisconsin, or better yet, stiffs fell on Wisconsin today. Hello, operator. Operator, this is an emergency call. Let me have the Delavan police, please. Hello, police department. This is the guy who just called you from the carnival to report a murder. Yeah? Well, you can now send the second team. I've got another one for you over here at the Lakeside Hotel. Room 314. A party's been strangled. Yes, I'm sure. Lots of bruises and deep-nailed fingernail marks on the throat. Sure, I know who it is. The name of the deceased is Rachel Williams. Rachel Williams certainly has been a fast worker. She not only beat me down to the hotel, but she's managed to get herself killed in the bargain. I looked around the room for anything that looked suspicious or out of place. The only thing I found were some papers that included Carter Lacey's prison release forms. And what let him out of prison let me in on something more. So I got out of the room and took the elevator down to the hotel lobby, wondering where to start looking for Lacey. But instead, I saw him sitting in a chair near the elevator, looking right at me.
Hi.
Where do you want to talk, Lacey?
No, I don't want to. But if you want to try and make me, what's the matter with right here?
Okay, I supplied you with an alibi today. I don't see him in the lobby.
Oh, you mean that detective? He had stomach trouble. He got kicked in it. You can reach him at the city hospital. You know, Dollar, in prison I was a trustee. I get out and nobody trusts me.
Well, with that forecast you gave me this morning, what else?
Forecast? What forecast?
Yeah, you predicted that you'll kill two people. Well, tonight the two people are dead. Shanny, out at the carnival, and now Rachel, up in your room. So, Mr. Lacey, what does that make you?
A good forecaster.
Or the killer, maybe?
Yeah, thanks for the maybe. Look, Dollar, I came to this town to take care of something, and I took care of it. So now, nothing bothers me. Nothing.
Oh, stop chewing your nails. You told me this morning that one of those three people was working with you. Now there's only one left. And suddenly, Lacey, I don't believe your story.
Suddenly, Dollar, I don't care.
Hey, Brendan lied to me this morning. He said that you went to prison on an attempted murder charge. But yet, your prison release papers say you went up for grand larceny.
Yeah, you see what happens to bad little boys who tell lies?
I'm not through yet. I fished a bank book out of Rachel's trailer. A three-way joint account, Rachel, Shanty, and Louisa. The first deposit, $60,000. The date? The same year you were thrown into the can for stealing $60,000. To me, that spells a three-way split for them and a frame for you. Also for you. It spells a motive for hating all three of them.
So I lied to you. What you gonna do, wash my mouth out with soap?
Look, Lacey, from now on I don't need answers from you, including smart ones. But look, you better stick around. You understand?
Yeah, I think I need some coffee now. I hope it does keep me up tonight.
Dollar, nice of you to finally show up. Where have you been?
Talking to Lacey.
He ain't been arrested yet?
That might be happening right now. The cops should already have him in cuffs.
What did you talk about?
It was more of a one-sided conversation. There's one thing I still can't figure out.
What's that?
I can't figure out whether he really intended to kill Shanty and Rachel or not.
Rachel?
Yeah, strangled.
Poor Rachel. Oh, the poor little angel. She was such a good girl. What a future she had. And, of course, Lacey meant to kill him. He hated us all. Oh, poor little Rachel.
I agree with you on one thing, Louisa. Hatred and killing, they always seem to go together.
That's crazy talk, Dollar. How did Rachel die?
Strangled. That's the kind of murder a man would commit.
You see? I knew it. Lacey.
But there is one unusual fact that could alter such a conclusion.
Like what?
There is a set of deep fingernail marks on her throat, and Carter Lacey bites his nails right down to the quick. So, Louisa, you'd better get yourself a good manicure before the police arrive. Expense account total, what? Only $692.18. I must be slipping. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Listen again in the future when the WGTD Radio Theater brings you Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, with Jim McClure as Johnny. Also starring in today's program were Chris Brooks, Rene Bouchel, Siegfried Christoph, Todd Eaves, Janelle Powers, and Larry Rowe. Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar was written by Steve Brown and Mike Alstrup and was directed by Barb Tyla, who also created the live sound effects. Our musical editor was Steve Brown. Join us now for The Adventures of Nora Charles, Private Detective. This series, based on the Dashiell Hammett characters of Nora and Nick Charles from the famous Thin Man series, is brand new to the WGTD Radio Theater and stars Janelle Powers as the beautiful, witty, and oh-so-talented private detective Nora Charles, replete with Nick, Asta, their trusty wire-haired fox terrier dog, a cast of characters a mile long and who knows what else. This is the first installment of The Adventures of Nora Charles, Private Detective. It won't be the last. Trust me. In today's episode, we find Nora and Asta all alone at her best friend Ethel Bartoloni's Italian-like villa on beautiful Williams Bay, just a stone's throw from Lake Lawn Resort in Delavan.
Asta, what are you doing? Oh, Asta, it's just a flock of geese. Totally harmless. Unless they're flying right over your head and low enough to provide some incoming. Oh, Asta, with my darling Nicholas away for a few days, I'm just going to catch up on some reading. I brought one of Dashiell Hammett's latest Sam Spade novels. And you know me, Asta, I never miss a chance to read one of his exciting new novels, nor to plug his name on my own show. since he did create all of this. Before I sit down in this beautiful sunroom overlooking Williams Bay, I think I need to mix myself a very dry martini. And no, Asta, it's not too early to enjoy my dry martini. Even though some people might think so. And if they do, I would never understand why. Now, who could that be? Especially since hardly anybody knows I'm here. Hello?
Sweetheart, how are you and Asta enjoying your beautiful digs right there on Williams Bay?
The weather is beautiful. I love looking at Williams Bay. And Asta and I already have taken two delightful walks. But, Nikki, it's just not the same without you.
I know, Buttercup. I feel the same way.
Nikki, darling, how many days will you be gone? We miss you.
This California investigation is going well.
That's good to hear, Nikki. And how are the studio executives treating you?
Sweetheart, they are like putty in my hands. They have given me total access to their records and to all studio employees.
Nicholas, I do hope those pretty young Hollywood starlets are leaving you alone so you can do your best work. As a private detective...
Nora, dear, I'm giving those studio execs my total and undivided time.
Speaking of time, Nikki, I do need to take Asta out for another walk. He really loves the weather here in Williams Bay and is the most accurate timekeeper in all of Walworth County. He always knows when it's time for his walks. And for mine.
Nora, with the time difference between Hollywood and Williams Bay, I know you'll be enjoying your extra dry martini with the two blue cheese olives in just a few hours. Be sure to have an extra one just for me.
Okay, Nikki. You know that your work in Hollywood makes me very jealous. And I just want you to know how much I love you, because you always know such lovely and talented people.
And you, my dear Nora, is number one on that list.
Thank you, dear.
Oh, by the way, sweetie, you may be getting a phone call from someone who people call Georgie the Germ.
Nikki, did you say Georgie the Germ?
Yes, I did. He lives in Chicago, but has a home over in Lake Geneva, right next to the Wrigley Mansion, I believe. So if he calls, do me a favor and take on his case. He really needs your help.
Me? Take on his case?
Of course. You're the only private female detective in our family named Nora.
You've got it, Nikki. You take good care of yourself.
Well, sure I will.
Don't say it like that. Say it as if you meant it.
My lovely and gorgeous wife, Cher, cares.
I don't care. It's just that I'm used to you. Oh, you know I care about you, sweet one.
I'll talk to you soon, sweetie.
Bye-bye, Nikki. Asta, it's just you and me now. Against someone named Georgie the Germ.
Mrs. Charles, can I get you anything?
Loretta, you must have been reading my mind. I'd love a very, very dry martini.
And your usual two blue cheese olives?
Yes, you've got it. By the way, Loretta, have you ever heard of anyone around here mention someone named Georgie the Germ?
Georgie the Germ? You know, I think Mrs. Obermeyer from Shoreland Road mentioned his name to me. But don't bet the state on that, okay?
Of course, Loretta. Thanks anyway. Francis Obermeyer and Georgie the Germ. I wonder, just wonder, if she might know what this is all about.
One martini, straight up, two blue cheese olives, just like you like it.
Thanks, Loretta.
Will there be anything else, Mrs. Charles?
Yes. Please, do me a favor and take care of little Asta. I have an errand to run in town.
Somewhere on Shoreland Road, I bet.
You are always on your game, Loretta.
Working for you and Mr. Charles, I have to be.
See you in a couple hours.
Yes, ma'am.
Shoreland Road. Well, it's only three blocks away. I think I can walk there. Here it is. 16 Shoreland Road. And how convenient. Obermeyer on the mailbox.
Hey, look here, Mrs. Obermeyer. You may have all the money this side of the world, but I'm holding all the cards.
You are the scum of the earth. No wonder they call you the Germ. You're a nasty and little man. I want you off my property.
What you gonna do, lady, if I don't? Take off your little white gloves and sock me right in the kisser?
I don't think you want to know.
Well, hello, Francis. Nora Charles.
We met at the country club dance last spring.
Oh, of course. Hello, Nora. Nice of you to stop by.
Why, of course.
He was just leaving. No need for you to return, George. I don't think I'll need your services anymore.
Watch out for this one, Mrs. Charles. She's a real doozy.
And a short while later, Nora is back at her lakeside villa when the phone rings and...
Hello? Yes, this is Nora Charles. I see. Oh, really? Oh, my. How many shots? Is there any evidence? Well, thank you for your call. I'll look into that. Oh, of course. My lips are sealed. Goodbye.
Mrs. Charles, Frances Obermeyer's here. Shall I show her in?
Really? Yes, by all means. Thank you, Loretta. Why, Frances, I did not expect to see you so soon.
I'm so glad that you have the time to talk to me, Nora.
Why, of course, Frances. You seem so frazzled. Can I have Loretta get you a drink?
Well, I probably shouldn't. It's awfully early in the day, but I think I will.
What would you like, ma'am?
I'll have a double scotch. No ice, please.
Yes, ma'am, I'll be right back.
So, Frances. Frances, what has you so upset?
So, Frances, what has you so upset?
Oh, I'm so disoriented, Nora. I don't know what it is. That man, he's so awful.
You mean George?
Yes, Georgie the Germ. I most certainly do. He's the scum on top of the scum.
What did he do to you?
He was nothing but the worst man ever to be born.
Here's your drink, Miss Obermeyer. I hope you enjoy it. And for you, Miss Charles.
Thank you, Loretta.
Frances, why don't you just unwind and enjoy your scotch? Relax.
Yes, you're right, Nora. It's hard for me to do that.
Look, Loretta is making a nice pot roast with her famous double-baked potatoes for dinner. You must stay.
You're right. I think I will.
Then take off your coat and those white gloves and just relax.
Okay.
I propose a toast. A toast to better days.
To better days.
Frances, hand me your glass so I can give it to Loretta. I'll get you another double scotch.
Can I help?
Oh, no thanks. You leave everything up to me. I'll take very good care of you. Loretta, please place Mrs. Obermeyer's glass in a plastic bag and staple it closed for me.
Ma'am?
I know it sounds strange. Here, take it.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd better get back to the living room and see how she's doing. How are you feeling, Frances?
Well, I'm feeling a little better. That drink helped.
Good. Loretta will be right in with another for us, and she's prepared us a little snack to munch on.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Frances? Frances?
Oh, sorry, Nora. I must have dozed off.
That's all right. I just caught up on some reading.
Oh, I thought I heard the telephone ring. It must have been a dream I was having.
Must have.
I'll get it, Miss Charles.
Thank you, Loretta.
Mrs. Charles, I'm Police Chief Harold Kingston. We spoke a bit earlier.
Yes, good afternoon, Chief. I do think you wish to see Mrs. Obermeyer, Mrs. Frances Obermeyer.
Yes, I do. Mrs. Obermeyer, I think you better come with me.
Oh, Chief Kingston, for what reason?
George Germain was found in his Lake Geneva home, shot twice, then hit over the head with a wine bottle. Some very nice fingerprints survived. George didn't.
George is dead? Oh, my.
We need to talk about this death, or should I say, his murder. Mrs. Charles, do you have that cocktail glass with the fingerprints?
Yes, Chief. Here it is.
Thanks, Mrs. Charles. Be sure to tell Nick I said hello. Nice to finally meet you.
Well, Loretta, my first case.
All solved.
Oh, Miss Charles, how did you know?
Let's just say a little doggy named Asta told me.